Well, good evening to you folks out there in internet land. Pastor Gene here. Can you believe it's already the 8th of July? My, how time is flying by. We're halfway through the year. Wow. Let's pray. Father, you tell us in your word that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And you tell us that in John 15, chapter 7. So, Father, I pray, asking, Lord God, to stir up the hearts of your people worldwide, the worldwide church, to confess the sins and of the nations of the world, worldwide. And, Lord, I'm asking God to stir up the hearts of your people and put them in positions of power and authority throughout the nations of the world that will honor you and your word, Father God. And I'm asking God to neutralize the power, the authority, and influence of Satan in positions of leadership around the world. So wherever Satan has put one of these of his in positions of leadership, Father, we're asking God to neutralize their power and their authority, cause it to be null and void. We ask God to penetrate the spiritual blindness, not only in this nation, but the nations around the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and save thousands of your elect who may be entrapped and deceived in the false systems of religion throughout the land. So, Father, this is our prayer, and I pray, Lord God, Holy Spirit, anoint me tonight as I bring forth this message in 2 Samuel chapter 6, where we find your word tells us that David, King David now, is going to bring the Ark of the Covenant back. He has a tent built for it, a place for it to abode. So as we get into these studies, Lord God, I'm asking for your Holy Spirit's anointing upon me, upon those who hear this word. Energize your word, Father God, in the hearts and the minds of those who hear this Bible study tonight. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we're going to be looking at moving the ark to Jerusalem. You recall, David has now captured Jerusalem. He's starting to build up Jerusalem. He's expanding the territory. And then he realizes, you know, we need to bring the ark back into a centralized place here in Jerusalem. So he gathered, verse 1 of chapter 6 of 2 Samuel. Then David gathered again all the elite troops in Israel, 30,000 in all, verse 2. He led them to Baal of Judah to bring back the Ark of God, which bears the name of the Lord of the heaven's armies, who is enthroned between the cherubim. Let's do a detour here for a minute. I want to talk about this Ark of the Covenant, Ark of the Testament. The Ark was made of acacia wood, commonly referred as the Ark of the Covenant. It holds a central place in the religious and cultural history of Israel, as described in the Old Testament. It is a sacred chest that was constructed under the direct instructions of God to Moses on Mount Sinai. The Ark served as a tangible symbol of God's presence and covenant with his people, Israel. The construction of this Ark and its description, the instructions for the construction of the Ark are detailed in the book of Exodus. And according to Exodus chapter 25, 10 through 22, God commanded Moses, saying, they are to make an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits high. The choice of acacia wood is significant here because due to its durability and resistance to decay, symbolizing the enduring nature of God's covenant. So this ark, it was overlaid with pure gold, both inside and out, and it featured a gold molding around it. 4 gold rings were cast and fastened to its 4 feet, 2 rings on each side. These were there to hold the poles made of acacia wood and overlaid with gold. These poles were used to carry the ark, emphasizing its sanctity and the prohibition against direct human contact. The cover of the ark, known as a mercy seat, it was also made of pure gold. 2 cherubim of hammered gold were placed at the ends of the mercy seat facing each other with their wings spread upward, overshadowing the cover. The mercy seat was placed where God promised to meet with Moses and communicate his commands for the Israelites. At the time David was bringing this Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, the contents of the ark, what was inside of this ark, the Ark of the Covenant contained several sacred items that were central to Israel's faith and identity, according to Hebrews 9, chapter 9, verse 4, the ark held the stone tablets of the Ten Commandments, which were the terms of the covenant between God and Israel. Additionally, it contained Aaron's rod that budded and a golden jar of manna, serving as testimonies of God's provision and authority. So the significance and the role of this ark, the ark of acacia wood was not merely a religious artifact, but a powerful symbol of God's presence and guidance. It played a crucial role during the Israelites' journey through the wilderness and their conquest of Canaan. The ark was carried by the Levites and led the procession during significant events, such as crossing the Jordan River. You can read about that in Joshua 3, 14 through 17, and also during the fall of Jericho in Joshua 6, 6 through 20. In the tabernacle, the ark was placed in the most holy place, behind the veil, signifying the holiness of God. Only the high priest could enter this sacred space once a year on the Day of Atonement to make atonement for the sins of the people, as described in Leviticus chapter 16. Throughout Israel's history, the ark's location and status reflected the nation's spiritual condition. It was captured, if you recall, by the Philistines. And now we're going to find out where it is going to be returned to Israel after God has demonstrated his power, and King David eventually will bring the ark to Jerusalem, and he will hold a great celebration. And we're going to see that today. And it was later housed in the temple, which will be built by Solomon. You can see that in 1 Kings 8, 1 through 11. The final fate of the Ark of the Covenant today remains a mystery. It is not mentioned in biblical accounts following the Babylonian conquest and the destruction of Solomon's temple. Its absence has led to much speculation and intrigue throughout history. The Ark of Acacia Wood remains a profound symbol of God's covenant, his holiness, and his presence among his people, reflecting the deep spiritual truth of the Old Testament and a foreshadowing of the ultimate fulfillment of God's promise through Jesus Christ. Let's take a look here in the rest of the scriptures. We'll start back up with verse 3 of 2 Samuel chapter 6. So David is going to go up. He's going to the town where the Ark of the Covenant is. This town they called Baal of Judah, meaning Lords of Judah, but it was also known as a town of Kiriath Jearim. If you remember in 1 Samuel we looked at that, this town was located about 10 miles west of Jerusalem, So this Ark of the Covenant represented the glorious reputation and gracious presence of the Lord of Israel. So what are they going to do? They're going up there. They're going to bring the Ark back to Jerusalem. So all these men that went there with David, they were the Israelites, chosen men of Israel, 30,000 of them. So when this Ark was returned after the Philistines had captured it, it was returned to Israel after a brief Philistine captivity, if you remember, back in 1 Samuel. And it was kept in Abinadab's home for 20 years. David saw how God had blessed Abinadab, and he wanted to bring the Ark to Jerusalem to ensure God's blessing on the entire nation. Well, I want to give you some background information concerning the moving of this Ark, and we're going to look at God's Word for that. Let's go to Exodus chapter 37, starting with verse 1, the building of the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 1 says, "Next, Bezalel made the Ark of acacia wood, a sacred chest 45 inches long, 27 inches wide, and 27 inches high. He overlaid it inside and outside with pure gold, and he ran a molding of gold around it. He cast 4 gold rings and attached them to its 4 feet, 2 rings on each side. Then he made poles from acacia wood and overlaid them with gold. He inserted a pole into the rings at the sides of the ark to carry it. He made the ark's cover, the place of atonement, from pure gold. It was 45 inches long, 27 inches wide. He made 2 cherubim from hammered gold and placed them on the 2 ends of the atonement cover. He molded the cherubim on each end of the atonement cover, making it all one piece of gold. The cherubim faced each other and looked down on the atonement cover with their wings spread above it. They protected it." This tabernacle of the meeting, or the wilderness tabernacle, as some call, when God said to move, they had to move. So wherever they may have camped or set for a stay, the tabernacle would be set up. But then if God said move, then they would have to unpack all of the instruments, everything that was in the tabernacle of the meeting and in the area of the most holies. God is telling Moses, giving him the instructions on what to do and who will pack up all of these holy instruments and how they will be stored. And then he assigns the tribe of Kohath. This is Levites now. Only Levites could work in the temple or the tabernacle of the meeting or the wilderness tabernacle. Only the Levites. But of the tribe of the Levites was Kohath. That was one of them. Their duty was to carry the furnishings of the tabernacle only after they had been covered by Aaron and his sons. If the Kohathites touched or even saw any of the holy things, they would die. So Moses is instructed by God to instruct this tribe of the Kohathites on what their duties were. The reason I'm bringing you all of this information is we're going to see an incident that happens while David is bringing this ark up into Jerusalem. I'd like to refer to you at this time to the book of Joshua in chapter 3. Verse 1 says, "Early next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Acacia Grove." The other name for that was Shittim. "And they arrived at the banks of the Jordan River. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. He said, 'When you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about a half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the ark. Make sure you do not come any closer. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. In the morning, Joshua said to the priest, lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river. So they started out and went ahead of the people. The Lord told Joshua, today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all of Israel. They will know that I am with you just as I was with Moses. Give this command to the priest who carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the river Jordan, take a few steps into the river and stop there. So Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Today you will know that the living God is among you. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites ahead of you. Look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. Now, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall. So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing in its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed on to the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed. As the people passed by, they waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. So we find here that this Ark of the Covenant was to be carried with the poles and was carried by the Levitical priest, these Kohathites. And I gave you all that background to set you up for what's going to happen here. Right now I'm reading from the New Living Testament, verse 3. They placed the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it from Abinadab's house, which was on a hill. Uzzah and Ahio, Abinadab's sons, were guiding the cart that carried the Ark of God. Ahio walked in front of the ark. Verse 5, David and all the people of Israel were celebrating before the Lord, singing songs and playing all kinds of musical instruments, lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. Verse 6, but when they arrived at the threshing floor of Nacon, the ox stumbled, and Uzzah reached out his hand and steadied the Ark of God. Verse 7, then the Lord's anger was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him dead because of this. So Uzzah died right there beside the Ark of God. Remember back in Numbers chapter 4, verse 15 says, the camp will be ready to move when Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary and all the sacred articles. The Kohathites will come and carry these things to the next destination, but they must not touch the sacred objects or they will die. So there was the Kohathites from that tribe, a priest who had the duties of carrying this Ark of the Covenant and all of the sacred objects, but they couldn't touch them or they would die. And the Lord goes on to instruct Moses and Aaron, saying, look, do not let the Kohathite clans be destroyed from among the Levites. This is what you must do so that they will live and not die. And he says, when they approach the most sacred objects, Aaron and his sons must always go in with them and assign a specific duty or a load to each person. The Kohathites must never enter the sanctuary to look at the sacred objects for even a moment, or they will die. So, before they could pack up and carry everything off, everything had to be packed up by the priest and his sons, Aaron and his sons, and they were to be covered in a specific way, so nothing could be seen with the visible eye. And when the Kohathites came in to carry out the objects, they could not come in to that area while the packing was going on. God told them and said, look, the Kohathites must never enter the sanctuary to look at the sacred objects for even a moment or they will die. So God is instructing Moses to tell this tribe, these Kohathites, specifically what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and it's according to God's instruction, and to be obedient or they die. So, you know, this guy Uzzah, he was only trying to protect the ark. So was God's anger against Uzzah just him? Well, we saw in Numbers chapter 4, 5 through 15 that the ark was to be moved only by the Levites who were to carry it using the carrying poles. They were never to touch the ark itself. To touch it was a capital offense under the Hebrew law. God's action was directed against both David and Uzzah. David placed, number one, he put it on a cart, following the Philistines' example. Remember that in 1 Samuel 6, 7 through 8? So he put it on a cart rather than God's commands. Uzzah, though sincere in his desire to protect the ark, had to face the consequences of the sin of touching it. David sought to bring Israel back into a relationship with God. God had to remind the nation dramatically that enthusiasm must be accompanied by obedience to God's laws. The next time we're going to find that David tried to bring the ark to Jerusalem, he carefully handled it correctly. Let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 13. 1 Chronicles chapter 13, the account of David's attempt to move the ark. 1 Chronicles chapter 13. 19, verse 1, David consulted with all of his officers, his officials, including the generals and captains of his army. Then he addressed the entire assembly of Israel as follows. If you approve, and if it is the will of the Lord, our God, let us send messengers to all the Israelites throughout the land, including the priests and Levites in their towns and the pasture lands. Let us invite them to come and join us. It is the time to bring the ark of God, for we neglected it during the reign of Saul. The whole assembly agreed to this, for the people could see it was the right thing to do. So David summoned all Israel from Shihor Brook of Egypt in south all the way to the town of Lebo Hamath in the north to join in bringing the Ark of God from Kiriath Jearim. Then David and all of Israel went to Baal of Judah, which is also called Kiriath Jearim, to bring back the Ark of God, which bears the name of the Lord, who is enthroned between the cherubim. Verse 7, they placed the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it from Abinadab's house. Uzzah and Ahio were guiding the cart, David and all of Israel celebrating before the Lord with all their might, singing and playing songs with all kinds of musical instruments, lyres, harps, tambourines, cymbals, and trumpets. But when they arrived at this threshing floor of Nacon, the ox stumbled. Uzzah reached out his hand to steady the ark. Then the Lord's anger was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him dead because he had laid his hand on the ark. So Uzzah died there in the presence of God. Now back to 2 Samuel chapter 6, starting with verse 8. David was angry because the Lord's anger had burst out against Uzzah. He named that place Perez Uzzah, which means to burst out against Uzzah, as it is still called today. Verse 9, David was now afraid of the Lord, and he asked, how can I ever bring the ark of the Lord back into my care? So David decided not to move the ark of the Lord into the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obadiah of Gath. The ark of the Lord remained there in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his entire household. Then David was told, the Lord has blessed Obed-Edom's household and everything he has because of the ark of God. So David went there and brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with great celebration. After the men who were carrying the ark of the Lord had gone 6 steps, David sacrificed a bull and a fatted calf. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, wearing a priestly garment. So David and all the people of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and blowing of the ram's horn. Obviously, David probably did some research and say, you know, why did all this happen? Originally, he got mad at God. And he said, I don't even want to bring the ark into the city. So he left it at Obed-Edom's house there. Let's look at Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 15. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, starting with verse 11. Then David summoned the priests Zadok, Abiathar, and these Levite leaders, Uriel, Asaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, Amminadab, and he said to them, you leaders of the Levite families, you must purify yourselves and all your fellow Levites so you can bring the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel, to the place I have prepared for it. Because you Levites did not carry the ark the first time, the anger of the Lord burst out against us. We failed to ask God how to move it properly. So the priest and the Levites purified themselves in order to bring the Ark of the Lord, the God of Israel, to Jerusalem. Then the Levites carried the Ark of God on their shoulders with its carrying poles, just as the Lord had instructed Moses. Let's jump down now to verse 25 of 1 Chronicles 15. Then David and the elders of Israel went to the generals of the army. They went to the house of Obed-edom to bring the Ark of the Lord's covenant up to Jerusalem with a great celebration. And because God was clearly helping the Levites as they carried the Ark of the Lord's covenant, they sacrificed 7 bulls and 7 rams. David was dressed in a robe of fine linen, as were all the Levites who carried the Ark, and also the singers, and Kenaiah, the choir leader. David was also wearing a priestly garment. So all of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord's covenant with shouts of joy, blowing the ram's horns and the trumpets, crashing the cymbals, and loud playing of the harps and lyres. But as the Ark of the Lord's covenant entered the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked down from her window when she saw King David skipping about and laughing with joy. She was filled with contempt for him. David had gotten mad because the Lord had killed Uzzi. The reason he was mad is that a well-meaning man had been killed and that his plans for a joyous return of the Ark had been spoiled. He undoubtedly knew that the fault was his own for transporting the Ark carelessly. After cooling down, he had the Ark put in temporary storage while he waited to see if the Lord would allow him to bring it to Jerusalem. This also gave David time to consider the right way to transport the Ark. The fact that God blessed the home of Obed-Edom was a sign to David that he could try once again to move the Ark to Jerusalem. So David wore this linen ephod after the second time they went to get the Ark. It was a priest's apron, possibly because it was a religious celebration. So all this dancing and hoopla going on, the Hebrews, like other ancient and modern people, had their physical expressions of religious joys as they praised God. Verse 16 of 2 Samuel. But as the Ark of the Lord entered the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, remember that's David's first wife that Saul had given away, she looked down from her window when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. She was filled with contempt for him. Verse 17, they brought the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the special tent David had prepared for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. When he had finished his sacrifices, David blessed the people in the name of the Lord of the heaven's armies. Then he gave to every Israelite man, woman in the crowd, a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, a cake of raisins. Then all the people returned to their home. When David returned home to bless his own family, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him. She said in disgust, "How distinguished the king of Israel looked today, shamelessly exposing himself to the servant girls like any vulgar person might do." Verse 21, David retorted to Michal, "I was dancing before the Lord, who chose me above your father and all his family. He appointed me as leader of Israel, the people of the Lord. So I celebrated before the Lord. Yes, I am willing to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes. But the servant girls you mentioned will indeed think I am distinguished. So Micah, the daughter of Saul, remained childless throughout her entire life. So Micah was David's first wife, but here she is called Saul's daughter, possibly to show how similar her attitude was to her father's. Her contempt for David probably did not start with David's grand entrance into the city. Perhaps she thought it was undignified to be so concerned with public worship at a time when it was so unimportant in the kingdom. Or maybe she thought it was not fitting for the king to display such emotion. She may have resented David taking her from Palti. Remember her husband that Saul gave her? Whatever the reason, this contempt that she felt toward her husband escalated into a difficult confrontation, and Micah ended up childless for life. You know, feelings of bitterness and resentment that go unchecked will destroy a relationship. Deal with your feelings before they escalate into open warfare. For David is wearing these priestly garments. Only a priest could place the sacrifices on the altar, according to Leviticus chapter 1, verses 2 through 13. It indicates that anyone who was ceremonially clean could assist the priest in offering the sacrifice. So David probably offered these sacrifices to God with the aid of a priest. Solomon did the same thing in 1 Kings 8, 62 through 65. Well, guess what? That concludes our study for tonight. We covered lots of ground. Hopefully you got some nuggets you can take away with and have a better understanding of why things happen the way they happen sometimes. But if you obey the laws and the statutes of the Lord, you will prosper. If you're obedient to the Lord in all of his ways, you will prosper. Not saying that you won't have heartaches and pains and sufferings. That's not what I'm meaning. God will be with you all the way. God will help you in difficult times. And God will cause you to prosper. Could be physically, could be mentally, could be spiritually. But he will cause you to prosper because of your obedience unto him and his word. So take tonight what you've heard about this moving of this Ark of the Covenant and why things happened the way they did. But remember, it's most holy God. These implements of worship were considered sacred objects. No one could enter into the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant was, or where the golden lampstands and all of that, that was priestly duties. And only the high priest once a year could enter into where the Ark of the Covenant was. And before they could move up and move, it was the priest, Aaron's sons, and the priest that would take down the coverings and all, and they would specifically cover each item with furs, skins, to where it could be protected from the elements, protected from prying eyes. Because if you touched one of the sacred objects, you're a dead person. Those was God's laws and his statutes and standards. And it was put out so that everyone would know and understand. And we see David in his exuberation and his expectation did not follow the order and the commandments of holy God the first time. Then when Uzziah touched that Ark of the Covenant, he was killed. David's anger, then he cooled off and went back and was advised and found out what the proper procedures and what God required for the movement of his sacred items. So I'd ask you today, have you cleansed and purged yourself before they could move the Ark of the Covenant? We saw that in Joshua. The nation had to cleanse themselves because God was going to do a great thing. Has God done great things in your life? If not, maybe you should go and examine your life and see, is there something in there that has not been purged, cleansed, and purified so God can do a great thing in your life? Well, some points to ponder. Been Pastor Gene. I've enjoyed teaching with you tonight. I love these studies. I love studying the Word of God. And I'll pray for you like I pray for myself. Father, I thank you for this honor and this privilege. And Lord, you know I ask constantly for ever-increasing knowledge, ever-increasing in wisdom and understanding of your Word, that I may use this knowledge and understanding of your Word to share with your people. Father, I pray the same for your people who hear these studies that we're doing on Wednesday night, that you would increase them knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of your Word. Because, Father, if we have that, we've got all we need. And Lord, I thank you for this privilege and this honor of being able to teach. Thank you, Lord. Until we meet again, folks, God bless you and yours real good. Thank you again, Father. Amen.